It's time now for KMTS Connections, a public affairs program from KMTS News, heard weekdays around 12:30, bringing you interviews and information regarding local nonprofit events and city and county services from Aspen to Rifle. Once again, it's Gabe from the KMTS Morning Show. Our old friend Brad from Soper's Theater Company is here again today. He directs.
I'm not that old.
Okay, our young friend Brad.
Thank you.
From Soper's Theater Company. He directs
the room,
Hope and Gravity, which, of course, was a Soper's Theater Company production, was actually up on the hill.
In October at
CMC, the New Space Theater. And for the last. What, 2, 3, 4 years?
Maybe our sixth year.
Six, okay.
Yeah.
I was going to keep going until I finally hit the number, you know?
I should have waited until you got there and then go, yes, that's
it. Yes, keep peppering all the way around. So for the last 6 years, you've taken one of your shows a year to the Wheeler Opera House.
Right.
And you've performed them on the stage at the Wheeler for one night only. This year, it's Hope and Gravity, and it's Thursday, January 30th. It's a 7 o'clock show at the Wheeler. Big difference between your stage at CMC and the Wheeler. I want to say the stage on the Wheeler is much larger.
You know what's interesting is it's larger, but not by a lot.
Interesting.
You know, like our proscenium arch is 26 feet across, and the Wheeler's is 28 feet across. And the depth of our stage is a little less than the Wheeler, but not much.
But the size the Wheeler, of the room.
The size of the room is much bigger.
The seating capacity
is. So the seating capacity, you know, the height over stage, things like that. But, yeah, obviously it's performing in a completely different space, and it's such a beautiful space. And it's been a wonderful experience for us as a company, not only with students but also with community members. It's been a great chance for us to tour a show, to get into a different venue, to work with different equipment. It's a wonderful opportunity for the students to learn how – sound and lights and everything else happens on or in that venue, and it's always such a great thrill to perform on that stage.
Obviously, you're an educator, so your goal is to educate the students through theater, whether they're working toward an associate's in what is it called? Is it theater?
Yeah.
Or whether that's it, or whether that's just an elective that they chose because they're kind of interested. Maybe they did theater in high school, but your goal is to educate the students, and so
community members too. But
I think of this from two different standpoints. You know, obviously, there's that experience of going to a different space and doing the same show in a different space, and the challenges that come with that, because you would think it would be the same, but it's not always.
It's not, and to travel to. To take a show on the road is a whole new animal, and it's a great experience. It's great in terms of how you relate to the show as a performer, as a technician. It's also a really wonderful experience going to the Wheeler, because oftentimes our students then get a chance to meet the Wheeler crew, to understand how that venue runs, and we oftentimes then get calls when they have need for overhire on a crew. You know, we've got a big show coming in. Do you have somebody that'll come help us with wardrobe, or, you know, help us focus lights or whatever? And so that's a great opportunity for our students.
What about the box office standpoint? Obviously, you'd have to – I would think you'd want to at least break even on these in order to continue doing it, because, again, education is great, but you have to be able to make the bottom line in order to continue.
Yeah, there is that challenge, yeah. Yeah. Well, and you know, we've had certain sponsors over the past several years who have helped make that happen for us, because they believe in the educational opportunity. So, yeah, we do our best to try and get people in there, and we'd love to sell 500 seats and have people just clamoring at the door to get in there. But the bottom line is that we're there to, as you say, educate the students and things like that, but also to try and get our name out into the, you know, to the Aspen community. We do have a lot of people who are from Aspen in our shows or supporting us, and will come down to see shows, but try and open up to a new audience. We also have booked this show to perform at the Grand Mesa Arts Center in Cedar Edge on May 8th. So there may be a chance to just sort of start touring shows a little bit, you know.
And, it's the show that just won't go away.
It's the show, you know, this is the show that never ran. Anyway, but yeah.
So Christina Capelli is actually in the show. Christina, it's interesting. Typically, your life cycle of a play is you are cast, you learn your parts, you rehearse, you do the show for a couple weekends, and it's done, you move on to the next one. Maybe there's a little bit of overlap between shows, or if you're, you know, working with multiple theater companies. So you have to keep this show in the forefront all the way from October through May while still going to class and learning other shows, right, and all of that other stuff.
Thank goodness. Actually, no. It does not need to be at the forefront, which this was the first time I've reprised a role, so this was new for me and something I've learned. But it's almost like getting to know someone when you're playing a character, and I feel like I got to know my characters. I have more than one in this show. Pretty well, and I was nervous about it, about the lines and everything, but we met about a month ago for the first time to just go through everything, and it was just like meeting that person again. Oh, hey, yeah, oh, I know how you are, you know, I know the words you say and your energy, and it just, it felt really good and really normal, I guess.
So in some ways it is just like riding a bicycle.
Well, you know, it is, and yet the other thing to kind of tag on to that is that what's really interesting is that for the most part we cram to get it all in by opening night. I mean, it's like trying to somehow survive and just get to opening night and get through the run, and then you put it to bed for a while, and then you revisit it, and so many new little nuances come up, mm-hmm. and little just fun bits of relationship between characters, and you know, we all go home after a show, I think, and a month later, 2 months later, 6 months later, we go, oh, that's what that line meant, or oh, I wish I had thought about this, and also we learn things from an audience, mm-hmm. so when the audience comes in, we're busy building the show as they perceive it. Mm-hmm. And then to be able to come back and take some of that into account is really – it's kind of fun, I think.
So is it similar to – I think we've talked about this before. I have never worked a show when the last show, at the end of the last show, I said, you know, we did that so well. Wouldn't it be nice if we could add one more show? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because as you go through, it gets a little bit better each time. And so the last one, it's like, that was – either perfect or close to it. And it's like, wouldn't it be nice if we could add one more? Is that kind of what the Wheeler performance is? Is that one more show so that you can prove you can do it that way one more time?
Well, yeah, I guess maybe. I mean, I don't know that I've ever thought of it that way, but yeah. Well, I mean, it is a chance to
think of things in ways that other people never thought of.
Yeah, well, you know, we're used to that. But it is – I mean, your experience, though, is very common. You know, it's – everybody says, oh, well, gosh, couldn't, you know, let's play it for another week, or let's,
right,
you know.
Right.
Yeah, well, that's not going to happen. You know, the other side of that I thought about when you were saying this is we also always say as we're going into Tech Week, oh, if we only had another week.
Oh, to prepare.
Yeah. Oh, we need another week. Yeah, okay. That's not going to happen either. So, you know, so now this way we have a chance to sort of add both of those in a way, and it's kind of fun. And I think you learn so much from touring because you're dealing with audiences from different communities or it's just and you're learning about different venues. All of those things become so interesting.
Again, you can see Hope and Gravity, the Sopris Theater Company production. By the way, produced by Carrie and Jeff Hauser with associate producers Kelly and Jim Cleaver. Thursday, January 30th at the Wheeler Opera House, 7 p.m. Again, it's directed by Brad. You can get tickets. They're only $20 for general admission tickets. Yeah. You can get those at aspenshowtix.com or, of course, at the Wheeler box office, 920-5770. Again, that's Thursday, January 30th, 7 o'clock. take a quick break. We'll come back and visit a little bit more about Hope and Gravity and what it's like resurrecting a fall favorite. Whatever that means.
I don't know, but it sounded great.
You're listening to KMTS Connections. Welcome back to KMTS Connections. Again, this afternoon, we're talking about Soperus Theater Company's production of Hope and Gravity at the Wheeler, on the Wheeler Opera House stage on Thursday, January 30th. Brad Moore directs. Christina Capelli is in the show, plays a number of characters we'll talk about a little bit later on. Stella von Dietenroth is stage manager for this show. So stage manager, in a lot of ways, is kind of where the rubber meets the road.
Yeah.
It's your job to keep everybody on task, make sure everybody gets out there with the right props and all of that on cue when they're supposed to.
Yeah, I mean,
keep the director focused.
Yeah, that's a challenge. Keeping Brad. All right, Brad, come on. It's a little bit more. Assistant stage manager kind of does more backstage with props and everything like that. The stage manager does more calling cues, making sure that the cues are correct, like light and sound cues.
So you keep the sound guy in line.
Yeah, exactly.
That can be a tall challenge sometimes.
Yeah.
Trust me.
I'm sure you know.
Yes, I know very well. Have you had a chance? Have you done anything on the stage at the Wheeler before?
I have not.
Have you seen the stage at the Wheeler before? Like, have you a tour or backstage?
No, I've seen pictures, and I'm aware that the booth is very far away from the stage.
Right.
So that'll be new.
And it's a little bit different context there, too, because at the Wheeler, the booth is actually in the audience.
Yeah.
Whereas at Spring Valley, you're actually separated. You're in a soundproof room,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Which adds a whole new element. Actually, I would think from that standpoint, it might be easier at the Wheeler.
Yeah.
Even though it's different.
Well, as far as sound goes, yeah, because right. the lights and the projection booth are actually back in the back of the balcony.
Yeah, you can hear the lights even if there's, even if it is soundproof, you can still hear those.
Yeah, still. Yeah, so, I mean, but you're right, because being able to hear, and you'll have this conversation with any sound person, I'm sure, why they design theaters with the sound operator being in a soundproof room, it's like, well, aren't you going to want to be able to record? No, we want to be able to run live sound. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, back when we did the renovation of the Wheeler in 84, the sound actually was operated from the booth. And so we built in that position downstairs in the
right
back
under
of
the balcony,
room.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
But it's one of those things. What were you thinking? Clearly you weren't. Okay. The Hope and Gravity was written by Michael Hollinger, he actually did a reading in developing this piece. He did a reading with the Aspen Fringe Festival, and so it was interesting to have seen that and to talk to him back then about this show. And then I got in touch with him a couple of years ago and said, "Hey, it'd be really fun to look at this show for our season." And he said, "Well, it's not quite published, but if you can wait a year," and so we did, and here we are. And it's a wonderful piece. It originally started as 8 different short plays, and then he tied it all together. And there are now 9 scenes. It all revolves around an elevator crash that fell 9 floors. There are 9 characters played by 5 actors, and it. The one thing to know about it is that all the scenes are out of order, kind of like the elevator. So it's interesting because the audience needs to really pay attention to the show because they're watching 5 performers, 4 of whom have 2 roles each. And so you've got to figure out who's who, when they're, and where does this take place, and in what order of the telling of the story does this scene happen. Mm-hmm. So we don't start with scene 1. We start with scene 6.
Interesting. So you're already 2/3 of the way through the show by the time you open.
And then you have
and
to go back.
Go back
yeah,
and forth.
Go back and forth. And it's a wonderful show. It's really delightful. It tells the story of how these different lives are impacted by this event that happens in the elevator, and also how their lives all connect. It's really it's a really fun story. Mm-hmm.
Sounds really interesting. It sounds like a great way to keep the audience engaged and listening. Yeah. It reminds me, not exactly, but a little bit. Maybe it's the picture you have on the poster of the tall buildings. Was it Matt Damon that was in the movie Inception, where you have a dream inside a dream inside a dream?
That was Leonardo DiCaprio.
Was it? Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, you know.
Okay, I know my Leo.
My Leo. My Leo.
I think you mean my Leo.
Wait a minute. Okay. Somebody's Leo. Anyway, yeah.
It's a good thing you're sitting in the middle, Brad.
Yeah.
It's a good thing you're sitting in the middle. Otherwise, who knows what kind of pandemonium might ensue. Again, Hope and Gravity is the name of the show. So a fairly new play.
Right. Yeah. It was about 10 years in development in different forms, and but that's what Michael likes to do. He really likes to take pieces and workshop them, and he's a professor at Villanova, and so he he has the chance to work with students, but he also has a lot of shows out and about, and some shows that have been done here in the Valley, like Red Herring is one of his pieces, and Ghost Rider that was done at Thunder River, but anyway, it's. Yeah, it really is pretty new to the published world and to the public.
Gotcha. Again, Michael Hollinger is the writer, directed by Brad Moore. Hope and Gravity, Thursday, January 30th, 7 p.m., Wheeler Opera House. Get your tickets at the Wheeler box office. That's AspenShowTix.com or call 920-5770. Again, it's $20. The whole house is general admission for that evening. Back to wrap things up in just a minute. You're listening to KMTS Connections. Welcome back to KMTS Connections. Again, this afternoon, we're talking with Brad Moore. He directs Hope and Gravity. It's a Sopris Theater Company production at the Wheeler Opera House, Thursday, January 30th. Taking the show on the road, you might say. One of actually two road locations for Hope and Gravity. The Wheeler, the January 30th, and then in May you'll be in Cedar Ridge.
In Cedar Ridge,
I didn't know they had a theater in Cedar Ridge.
It's David Starr, who was in the Valley for a long time here, now is in Cedar Ridge with Starr's Guitars, and he bought a building across the street from his little guitar shop, and he's put in the Grand Mesa Art Center. And it's a small little venue, tiny stage. It's mostly music. But they'd like to get some more theater in there. And so they said, why don't you guys start thinking about bringing a show over here twice a year? And so I said, well, let's try it with this. Yeah.
Is Cedar Ridge within the CMC system?
Not really.
Okay. It's a little bit outside of the district. Gotcha.
Yeah.
But still an opportunity for your students to perform in a different space, completely different space than either the New Space Theater or the Wheeler. It sounds a little bit like a black box, kind of like Thunder River maybe?
It's really almost kind of like a music venue. There's a little, like maybe similar to the Ute in the sense that there's a stage at one end of the room and you can set up the tables however you want, things like that, or chairs.
Gotcha. So there is a stage, but it's more.
It's pretty small. It's mostly.
It's not split in half by the curtain. Interesting. So very, very limited backspace for that quick change to happen.
There's no wing space.
So this is interesting information.
There's a little green room right off the side. It will take some restaging. It really will. It will be a different show.
Interesting.
In many ways. But that's part of what I think is really great and educational about doing this kind of thing is that you have to adapt to different venues. When we've taken shows to the Colorado Theater Festival, we go into all sorts of different theaters, and we have to try and adapt to that. When we went to Gettysburg last year to the National Festival, and we got there, and our set, when it's standing up, is 10 foot 4 inches tall, it would not fit through the door, nor could we store it backstage by 4 inches. And that was a bit of a surprise to us. We didn't gather that as we were doing all the discussions with the tech crew who also had come in from out of town. So we're all just kind of going, okay, what do we do? How do we make this work?
Did you just whip out the cordless skill saw? And
oh, yeah, saws all, and that was all gone. No, actually, because we have to store it in a 10 by 10 space, or more accurately, 100 square feet, mm-hmm. we actually made it a 9 by 11 foot square. And we laid it down on its side.
Gotcha.
And then we were at 99 square feet instead of 100, but we could make that work.
And great. You did very well, if I recall.
We did. We did very well. So, yeah.
Remind me.
Best Supporting Actress. We were nominated for Best Production. We got Outstanding Theatrical Moment for our final scene. And then Kelly, who was the main actress in that, was received a National Excellence in Theater Award.
That's awesome. Again, those are all national awards. That's a national competition.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
We're still kind of spinning.
Well, let's hope that it's an every other year thing, right?
Right.
So next year, let's hope that you get to take a show back to Gettysburg.
Well, yeah. Well, actually, it'll be in Louisville, Kentucky in
2021.
But anyway, what will happen is that the show from this year's Colorado Festival will go on through. And there's been some discussion about maybe this would be a fun show to take, so we'll see.
Well, I would say by that point, you certainly should be used to performing it in different spaces and different circumstances.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One of the best things about moving it around is the audience as well. So the space, but then, and you mentioned this earlier, performing to different audiences. It's really interesting. I mean, once again, it's like you're a person having a conversation and you're now talking to a different person. And it's like, oh, okay, different energy, different vibes. It's interesting.
I have always wondered about that. Maybe it's because I'm so self-conscious, but I've always wondered about performing on stage, and if the audience is not buying it, how do you recover from that?
Well, part of it is that it's sort of a two-sided, well, or double-edged sword, or coin with heads on both sides. I don't know. But it is that you cannot allow yourself to rely on the audience, and yet you're there because of the audience and sharing with the audience. So, part of it is that if the audience, hopefully you're able to overcome that, but you can't let that completely throw you. You have to know that sometimes an audience, even though the audience may not be as responsive as you expect, they sometimes are even more engaged. You just don't know that.
And actually, to kind of play off what Christina was saying earlier, I guess if you know your characters for you, right? Because you've got Jill and Barb. If you know your characters well enough, then really it's more a matter of that unconscious competence. It just happens, right? So if you have to just fall back on what the lines are, what the blocking is, and the attitude of your characters, you could do that and just focus on that. And
Brad has said that to me before. Stay the course. If you're worried, if a joke was supposed to land but you didn't hear the response you thought you would. Mm-hmm. And like he said as well, sometimes you don't know how they're actually feeling. Maybe they're just less vocal. But then, just stay the course. Trust the work that you've put into it very much. So you've created a person, absolutely. And a lot of it is energy as well. And it's so you can't quantify that all the time.
Once again, I have forgotten until the very end of the conversation to ask, what kind of a show is this? Is it a comedy? Is it drama? Is it serious? Is it
yes.
Is it kid-friendly? Yeah. Perfect.
Yes to all of them.
I mean, I think it's primarily a comedy, but there are some moments where there's some real strong, poignant moments.
So if the Motion Picture Association of America were to rate Hope and Gravity, what would they give it?
Well, because Christina insists on saying a bad word in the play, we would probably have to, we'd have to be careful with that. There's nothing. I think other than a couple of quick language things, it's certainly it's at least PG-13.
Sounds kind of like a PG or a PG-13.
Yeah.
I mean, I would have said PG hands down. I completely forgot about that line.
Yeah, it's so interesting. I don't know if you could hear if you could hear on the air, but while Brad's talking, Christina actually looked to Stella and she said, "Do I?" And Stella's like, "Yes, Christina."
Yes, Have you forgotten that you say that word?
I've forgotten that one. So.
Well, I think to bring the conversation full circle, that is kind of exactly what we were talking about. You know the character so well and the lines, and it's committed to – it just happens.
Yeah. And, right? and proof that it's not a gratuitous use of that word.
Yeah. Fair
it
enough.
Is
Fair
very
enough.
Much in her character. Right. It's very comfortable. It just naturally comes out.
And that's also a perfect example of the stage manager's job, right?
Am I right, Stella? Yeah.
Yes, of knowing this show better than anything.
Yeah, I know this show forwards and backwards.
That's not your line.
Oh, my goodness. Again, Hope and Gravity, Thursday, January 30th, one night only at the Wheeler Opera House. Again, you can get tickets at AspenShowTix.com. They're only $25. All tickets are general admission. You can always call the Wheeler box office as well at 920-5770. Again, it's Soper's Theater Company production. Season producers Carrie and Jeff Hauser and associate producers Kelly and Jim Cleaver. And the next show is Private Eyes.
Private Eyes, written by Stephen Dietz. It's a really, really fun show. It is it's all based on a lie.
Interesting.
So it's a series of people involved in relationships. Is this just a rehearsal for a play? Is Adrian actually having an affair with Lisa? Or is that part of the play? Or is maybe that Matthew making it all up in his head so he has something to tell his psychiatrist, Frank?
Sounds
it's really
it's so it's, much fun.
Yeah. Sounds a little bit like an episode of The Bachelor.
Well, yeah, well, there you go. Anyway, it is Stephen Dietz, who wrote the play, calls it a relationship thriller.
Interesting.
It is okay. A comedy. It's hysterical.
And it opens.
It opens on
Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
So, and you're going to come back and talk with us early February about that one. So,
yeah.
We'll look forward to hearing more about Private Eyes in February. In the meantime, the show at the Wheeler is Hope and Gravity, Thursday, January 30th, 7 p.m. Tickets at AspenShowTix.com or 920-5770.
And if we could just put in a plug, we'll be having auditions very soon for Kiss Me, Kate, which will play in April. So if anybody's interested in auditioning, call 947-8187.
947-8187 for audition information.
For audition information.
Kiss Me, Kate, which will be the May show?
April.
April.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Opens April 3rd.
That's a big one, well recognized, so I'm sure you get lots of community members who want to come out for that one.
So we'll see if anybody gets this, but brush up your Shakespeare and get ready to audition. So only somebody who really knows the show will get that reference.
Went right over my head. Again, the phone number is 947-8187 if you want audition information for Kiss Me, Kate. Hope and Gravity tickets at the Wheeler box office.
Wheeler. Yeah.
So their regular phone number, their regular website.
Yeah, and tickets are on sale now. So come on out and come see the show.
And they're only $20 for general admission tickets too. So it's a pretty good deal for a great evening of entertainment with some local young folks and at a beautiful space. All right, all the best. Talk to you soon.
Thank you so much.
Really soon, like
really
a couple
soon.
Weeks.
Yeah.
You've been listening to KMTS Connections, a public affairs program from KMTS News, heard weekdays around 12:30. It's another reason we are the most listened to radio station from Rifle to Aspen.